Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Come, thou Almighty King. Help us thy name to sing. Help us to praise. Father, all glorious, or all victorious, come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. The second stanza, come thou incarnate word. And the third, come holy comforter. And the last stanza, to the great three in one. Listen as it's sung. Reading from Paul's letter to Timothy, once again, the second letter, the third chapter. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Those are the first seven verses of that third chapter. Also reading the 13th verse, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And then Paul also gives the answer. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Let's give thanks that though terrible problems are described, there is an answer, a salvation in Christ Jesus. Let's come to God in His name. Our Father, we come through Christ Jesus, asking in His name and because of Him that we may be heard, that we may be taught, that we may be led into the way of repentance, the way again of faith and love. We pray that Thou would bring the church back to Thyself, that it might be a witness in our land and in every other land as well, that the church might be revived. We think of what it was in the past, in our nation, in England, in Europe, and sadly, what is taking place today, that we are going into perilous times, and terrible things are happening, both in these ways here described, and also in false ways of what is called religion, especially having a great influence in England and Europe. And we pray, Father, that it might be recognized. We pray also for those lands that have had the Bible from the beginning of its writing, but have not believed the message of the gospel. We pray that Thy Spirit might work mightily in many hearts, that many laborers might be called and sent to every nation, every tongue, every tribe, that the gospel will soon be preached to every creature. We pray, Father, for that word to come again in power, and Thou wilt not let it to be denied, as so many are, calling it in different ways of reproach. But we know it is Thy power unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We pray, Father, that we may not only have the blessing of the gospel in its power, but we may also have other needs met. We think of those that have been in storm, those that have been in drought, and others in earthquake, some in fire, wind, the war-torn lands, the persecuted, the sick, the injured, those in older age, and also the broken homes, the children in those homes. We pray, Father, for Thy mercy, for Thy grace, for Thy power in every one of those, giving what is needed to the homeless, the hungry, the sick, the injured, healing homes, giving blessing to the children in those broken homes. We pray for our schools. We pray for our government. We pray for our leaders, that Thou wilt put Thy fear in their hearts. We give thanks for what we still have, and we pray for that which is so much needed, and especially that the church might be made a salt and a light in every nation. We ask all these things and give thanks through Christ. Amen. We'd like to look once more at these words of Paul, giving description of when he wrote it, what was going to happen, and speaking of the last days. Perilous times shall come. They're here. Some nations far worse than others. The terrible persecution that is raging in some lands, especially the lands that have war, Christians are persecuted there and have been. The awfulness of it, many driven from their homes, others in prison. We see these things taking place. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And like Isaiah wrote 700 years before this, they call evil good and good evil. Exactly opposite. And we are certainly seeing that not only in some of the lands where there is suffering and persecution, bringing hardship, but even in our land, it is mainly, so far, a war of words, but also violence at times breaks out. And it is sad that many in that way want to rebel against what God has given us. Yes, He has given us. As I referred to before, Paul's words in Romans 13, there are no powers that be but are of God. We have to say it of both good and bad. It's a blessing when He gives us good leaders, and He can also leave us under the curse if we have leaders that are not wise and not good, and especially those that do not fear God and are, as we read here, fierce, despiser of those that are good and bring persecution. We think of what we can read in Proverbs 29, the second verse. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. That's the way it should be if we recognize it rightly. But there are also a number of people who rejoice when the wicked rule and want more wickedness. As we read in that 13th verse of this third chapter, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There are a number of areas that these things can be true. They can be true in our individual lives. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. It can be that there is one person that is more in that way than others. And it can be also that we become that with the whole nation. We have certainly experienced it, especially in our political parties. But it can also be, sadly, spiritual. Not a right spirit, but a wrong one. Peter wrote, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall also be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth, and their damnation slumbereth not. There we read also the word covetous. Through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you. That will be done in the church, often in a church that is falling away. Paul also spoke of that to the church as well as to Timothy, that there would be a falling away before the coming of Christ. And there certainly is today a falling away. I've read much of the history of some churches, some denominations, where they struggle among themselves. They have what they call the conservative element, the liberal element, and some want to talk as if they are going to make the church better, peace and justice, but they do it by government. Sometimes it's called liberation theology, and they want government to do it, but it's usually not the way of God. Certainly not the way of the faith of our fathers. It is denying along with doing those things. Many times the virgin birth of Christ and other ways concerning Him as the Son of God, they many times turn to false doctrine. And we also read that here further in Paul's letter. The next chapter, chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Sometimes the church believes that it's going to do things by its own works. But if we do it by our own works, as well as it may sound, it will never be good. Never. 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 The Lord Jesus said, just before he died, without me, you can do nothing. And so first of all, it must be Christ. It must be in our individual lives, salvation. It must be what Paul said Timothy had, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy had that. Paul wrote of it earlier in this second letter, also in the first epistle that he wrote to Timothy, how he called him his son in the faith. He had to become that to do these things, to accept the warning that Paul gave that he would teach others. The first verse in the fourth chapter also gives the answer to all of the problem mentioned in that previous chapter, all those different sins. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing of his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And then the verse we quoted a moment ago, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That has happened. The church is becoming less and less a salt and a light in our nation, and almost entirely devoid of that in England and Europe, even less than here. And it's a dangerous way. It's a perilous time. We should be concerned. We should be alarmed. If there's a house on fire, do the firemen just look at it, try to put it out for a little while, and then walk away? Would they say, well, let's go do something else? No. They would fight the fire till they have overcome it or till it's gone. And that's what we should be doing, fighting the fire. If we don't, what will happen? There will be a lake of fire. There will be eternal fire. If we deny the truth now, we will have what God gives us in a later word by John. All liars go into the lake of fire. If we say in any way, this is not serious, this is not like a house on fire, when men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, we're there, without natural affection. And one fire that keeps burning is without natural affection. People don't like to hear talking about the murder of the unborn. But it is like a house on fire. If you are a child of God, you and I should both be fighting that fire, not giving up. Sadly, those who say they are not for this evil way and evil deed seem to be asleep. Those that are for it and want to continue to have it called legal in a very wrong way. And that's where we have come in our perilous times in these last 50 years. Our forefathers didn't have it through almost the 200 years, but we do have it now. And we call it right. We call it a way of a woman's right. What a contradiction. when we call something right that is very, very wrong. We need to cry out to God. Wake us up and listen to God when he tells us, "Awake thou that sleepest." Yes, if we are to avoid the fires of hell in the end, we need to realize the dangers that are there now. And we need to be thankful there is an answer. Paul telling Timothy, after mentioning all these different things, how terrible each one is, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, and knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Have you learned the right things from the right source? Have you learned it from the Word of God? Hopefully, you aren't one. That is, as Christ said, you make void the commandments of God by your tradition. And especially dangerous is making void the commandment of God to repent. Paul, speaking to the Athenians on Mars Hill, recorded in Acts chapter 17, states, God calls all men everywhere to repent. And many times he calls the church to repent, even with a warning that it can come to the end of any particular church if there is not repentance. The church at Ephesus was warned, except they repent, I will remove the candlestick. We may believe the candlestick is the Spirit of God. The time of Jonathan Edwards and the Great Awakening, they were alarmed and were fearful that the Spirit was gone. And those who knew they weren't right with God feared that they couldn't be saved. They thought, the Spirit's gone. Error has taken over. We have all this false doctrine. The church continued in numbers, but not in power. They were doing what we read here, verse 5 of this third chapter, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Edwards preached that which would take the power of God to change it, and he taught that that power had to manifest itself in the lives of the people, or they could not be recognized in the church, taking the Lord's Supper, having their children baptized, for those who believed that that was what should be done. Some wanted to have all of them baptized in what they called the halfway covenant. Parents that weren't confessing in the church to have their children baptized as well as others. There was that argument. And because Edwards took the stand on truth, he was voted out of the church, sadly, after the Great Awakening and its blessing. And we not only need a blessing like that, but we need it to the full. We need it in continuance. We need it over and over. We sang to the great one in three, eternal praises be hence evermore. His sovereign majesty may we in glory see, and to eternity love and adore. From now till eternity begins, we need to do that. And then it will be done in perfection forever. Here is the way to prepare, to hear our sin. Hear it. The Lord Jesus said, as many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. Then he said, to those that hear my voice and open the door, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Those that hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with them, and they with me. Often the church wants to give those words to the world, but Christ is giving them to the church, and we must hear them. To those that hear my voice, Christ says, while he chastens us, while he tells us, telling them in that church, you say you are rich and need of nothing, but do not know that you are wretched and miserable and naked and blind and poor. Using different words, but giving much the same description as what Paul does here to Timothy. These people were also in that same category, blind, naked, wrong, lovers of their own selves, blind in that. At the same time, covetous and boasters and proud. All of these sins, Paul said, shall come. Now we have to say they have come. They're here. Do you know it? Do you know it as Paul knew it and could say, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men? And then give that wonderful answer, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. No longer faith in self, faith only in the God who gave Christ and his Son. Yes, Christ is the Son of God, who became man, born of the Virgin Mary, born in the fullness of time, to redeem them that were under the law. As Paul writes later to the church at Galatia, who also had gone astray. Yes, it's very easy to fall. Fall from the truth. Fall from obedience to it. And we need to come back. We need to hear the voice that entreats us, like we heard sung recently. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And then the next verse says, hear the voice that entreats you, O return ye unto God. God has good ways. Here are the evil ways. The evil ways that we will do if we're left without God, without hope. We need to repent and cry out. Even as we sang last week, taken from Psalm 51, the words of David, God be merciful to me, a sinner. On thy grace I rest my plea. When we hear these words sung, we should remember them, and hopefully they come back to us. And here we have the truth. The truth that, as Christ said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.